أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله وخيرته من خلقه بلغ رسالة ربه وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك وأنعم وأكرم وزد وتحنن عليه وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين وعلى كل من اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته ودعا بدعوته وسار على أمواله إلى يوم الدين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته يا جماعة المسلمين Today is the 10th day of Ramadan 1429 according to our Hijri calendar in brackets the 9th day of September 2008 CE Still, we are with the third surah of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Surah Ali Imran. And we are carrying on with ayah 162. Okay? Ayah 162. We shall hear what we need, because we are now drawing to the conclusion of the surah. It has about 200 chapters, I mean verses. And we've been talking about what took place during the Battle of Uhud, the experiences undergone, and the Sahaba began to question themselves as to what led them to the result they found themselves in, of defeat. أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِكُمْ Before reading that, we'll continue with ayah 162. Fadl al-Sheikh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Afaman ittaba'a ridwana Allahi kaman ba'a bisakhatin min Allahi wa mahwahu jahannam wa bisa al-masir. هم درجات عند الله والله بصير بما يعملون
قال الله تبارك وتعالى أفمن اتبع رضوان الله كمن باء بسخط من الله ومأواه جهنم وبئس المصير أفمن اتبع رضوان الله كمن باء بسخط من الله Can the one that have chosen to obey what fetches for him Allah's endorsement Allah's pleasure, Allah's recommendation, can he be equated? Okay? كَمَنْ بَاءَ بِسَخَطٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ Like the one that turns back earning Allah's anger and wrath and condemnation? No. وَمَعَوَهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِيْسَ الْمَصِيرِ His final place of abode is Jahannam. And evil as a place of staying permanently is Jahannam. Meaning, the one that chooses to obey Allah can by no means, by no any stretch of imagination be compared with the one that has chosen to do what invites for him Allah's condemnation, Allah's anger and Allah's wrath. Because for such is Jahannam. وَبِئِسَ الْمَصِيرِ evil is Jahannam for such people as the final place of abode. Next ayah.
هم درجات عند الله والله بصير بما يعملون
هم درجات عند الله والله بصير بما يعملون هم درجات عند الله People are according to grades. People are graded in positions in the eyes of Allah. That is true. He says, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ It's not possible. Somebody who keeps his night praying to Allah, crying for his sins, trying to do what is necessary upon him to do, cannot be the same as somebody spending his night on the bottle of wine, in the brothels, sometimes on cards, playing cards, they can all be the same, even though they both claim to be Muslims. So even within the ranks and files of the believers, people are graded. So hum darajatun indallah. We ask Allah to be of the highest grade by doing good things, justifying for us such a good position. Hum darajatun indallah. Wallahu basir bima ya'malun. Allah is ever seen. He sees whatever you do. Next ayah.
لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين.
لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. Allah says in ayah 164 of this surah, surah 3 Al Imran, لقد من الله على المؤمنين. Certainly Allah has bestowed upon the believers a fortune, a benevolent gift, because man is from minan. And Allah is Al-Mannan, okay, the gracious giver who gives endlessly, who gives immeasurably. That is Al-Mann. So Allah says here, Allah did bestow upon the believers immeasurable gift, a fortune. What is that? Is seeing that, or owing to the fact that ba'atha fihim rasula. بَعَثَ يَبْعَثُ بَعْثًا فَعَلَى يَفْعَلُ فَعَلًا. Okay, إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, that he has sent a messenger from among themselves, from among their ranks and files. Okay, يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, rehearsing, reading for them his verses. The ayah they passed to the Prophet of Islam Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He didn't go to school. He didn't graduate from any secondary school or any polytechnic or any college of education or any university. He didn't earn any degree, BA, master's, whatever. These things were non-issue. Are you considerate? Are you significant? Out of place? You are talking of someone that earned divine favor, chosen without any schooling, yet the teacher of those who claim to have schooled. بغير تعلم لكنه معلم المعلمين. Okay? لم يتخرج على يد رجل دكتور أو بروفيسور أو أي شيء من هذا القبيل, من هذه الأسماء الدخيلة الجديدة الغريبة التي ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان, فإنما هو علمه ربه وعلمك ما لم تكن تعلم وكان فضله عليك وعظيما. So Allah says he has really given a favor on the believers by sending a messenger known by all of them, rehearsing for them his ayat, rezekiyim, and purifying them, because by obeying the teachings he has brought, they stand the chances of being purified. That is at-tazkiyah. Rezekiyim. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Okay? Teaching them, educating them, enlightening them on the book and the hikmah. Here are two things were mentioned. Al-Kitab, the second one, wal-Hikmah. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i al-Muttalibi, rahmatullahi alayhi, اهبك الرسالة سيف سمعت ممن أرضى من أهل العلم أينما ذكر الحكمة مقترنة بالكتابة في القرآن فإن الكتاب القرآن والحكمة السنة. Whenever and wherever these two things are mentioned pari passu together simultaneously, al-kitab and hikmah, if these two are mentioned together, then al-hikmah means the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this tells you, just as the Quran is a revelation of Allah, so also is the Sunnah. Yes, just as the Quran is Allah's revelation, the authentic Sunnah, the reliable Sunnah, is as well a revelation. There is no way then you can understand the Quran if you sideline the Sunnah. If you put the Sunnah aside, you are denying yourself of an important, a necessary, integral part of it. You check for correction, if there is no correction, because of disturbance. So we're talking about the relations of Sunnah to the Quran as an explanatory source of Islamic legislation, and it is indispensable. The hadith that has been reported that when the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'az to Yemen, he asked him, with what are you going to judge, O Mu'az? He said, bi kitabillah. Fa illam tajid, he said, fa bi sunnati Rasulullah. If you can't find one, ajtahidu bi ra'yi wa la alu. I will exercise my independent opinion of understanding, and I will never leave that. And the riwayah goes on to say, فَوَضَعَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَدَهُ عَلَى كَفِّهِ أَوْ عَلَى كَتِفِهِ فَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي وَفَّقَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لِمَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَى. أو كما جاء, but the hadith is wrong hadith, unreliable, weak hadith, and weak hadith cannot be quoted unless for the purpose of explaining to people its position, its status. Hadith of Ba'if, يقول البيقولي وكل ما الرتبة الحسن قصر فهو الضعيف وهو أقصى من كفور. Any hadith that is lower than the position of as-sahih is ضعيف. Even though it should be added, كل حديث يعني تلاثر عن شروط السعيد والحسن, it's no longer reliable. So that hadith, should somebody quote it, let it be clearly known, the hadith is not reliable, it's a da'if narration, because it seeks to give the hadith a secondary position, whereas hadith explains the Quran. On many occasions, the Sahaba came to the Prophet saying, O Allah's Messenger, we have heard Allah saying, Alladina amanu walam yalbisu imanahum, okay, bi zulmi ulaika lahumul amruhum muhtadun. Those who believe without mixing their belief with az-zulm. And the Sahaba were disturbed. They said, O Allah's Messenger, none of us but must have wronged himself in one way or the other. He said, no. Wronging oneself there is not what you are aiming at. It means a shirk. In this case, the hadith has to explain to the Sahaba the meaning of a single ayah before they understand it. And we all know the kind of knowledge given to the Sahaba was by far, and is by far, better than what is given to those who came later. Yet they fail to understand the meaning of a single ayah until the hadith came to the rescue, to the intervention. So anybody claiming to know the Quran independently, such a man is a bid'atic man and not sunnatic man. You can't comprehend it without going back to the Sunnah, because Allah says, as you have heard, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Even though مِنْ قَبْلُ, before the time of his advent, before the emergence of the prophet, لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. They were in a manifest error. Balal, error. Mubin, clearly. Very, very, very manifestly clear error. Because which error could be worse than the worshiping of idols? They are worshiping Lat, Manat, Uzza, Kubal. In fact, in the pre-Islamic days, during the Jahiliya period, whenever a person says something that attracts him, he just godifies it. That's all. There was the story of this Arab man. His bread, when he enjoyed it, he made an idol out of the bread. When he was angry, he would just go and just remove part of the goat and eat it. And it was his God. La ilaha illallah. So Allah says they were in a manifest error before the coming of Prophet Muhammad. One boy will go and inherit the wife of his father. Alcohol was consumed massively. Genocide. Infanticide. You know infanticide? The wanton act of destroying the infant. Infanticide. Quran says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ. You have infanticide, genocide, like spermicide, herbicide in agric science. So they practice the wanton act of killing the unwanted babies. Part of the balal they were in. They were in a manifest error. Eating carrion, fighting, killing, maiming. The stronger one stayed on the weaker one. In fact, they used to have one phraseology as their own slogan. They used to be saying, Al-Mulku liman qahar. Al-Mulku liman qahar. Al-Qawi ya'kulu al-Da'if. What you can say today, might is right. Might is right. Just as it is happening today. You see the superpowers or the super arrogance today. They are powerful, economically, politically, any really. So they just tell you do as you wish. They have IMF, International Monetary Fund. They have the World Bank. I want to ask you, has there been a time when an African ever became president of the World Bank? Has there been a time? Well, why? Are Africans not human? Are we not contributing to the economic viability of the world? We are. Then why don't they give you Africans or all of us Africans that comfort sitting president? Why? Because we are not counted as anything. We don't have the might, and might is right. Who owns Paris Club, London Club, all those clubs that give you dates that go on making life depreciative and not appreciative? Just might is right. Just by way of comparison, I just did this. But the ayah is telling us what Allah has given the believers. So sending Prophet Muhammad is a great favor on the believers. The Ummah of Muhammad are more important than the Ummah of other prophets. The community of Prophet Muhammad with the Muslim Ummah, if we maintain the true belief, we are preeminently more important in the eyes of Allah by the virtue of the position of our Prophet. And the book given to us, the Quran, is the leader of all other books. No any other religion to come. Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the Prophet. What is seal? S-E-A-L. S-E-A-L. No. Seal, not seal. S-E-A-L. You say M? L. Am I correct? Fine. Seal. All right. Can somebody bring it in past tense? Sealed. Sealed. See that? So you can say the chain of prophethood has been sealed by the advent of the last of the prophet. Correct? So that sealed becomes qualifier, an adjective. An adjective grammatically is of many kinds. You have demonstrative, you have quantitative, you have qualitative adjective. I have two books. It's quantitative. Blackboard is qualitative here. So still, it describes to you how the chain, you know, flies. Meaning, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the seal of prophethood. Meaning, there is an implication here. Anybody now claiming to be a prophet becomes a kafir. Yeah, that's the implication. Anyone now contemporaneously claiming to be a recipient of messengership becomes a non-Muslim. You can't claim to be prophet now. Because Sayyidina Muhammad ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. The seal of prophets, prophethood. So Allah has bestowed this honor on earth by sending this messenger, reciting his verses, purifying them, educating them in book and hikmah, even though they were in a manifest error. We've just repeated the translation for clarity. Next ayah.
أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها قلتم أن هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم إن الله على كل شيء قدير.
أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها قلتم أن هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم إن الله على كل شيء قدير. الله سبحانه وتعالى says أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها, saying that a مصيبة, a catastrophe befall you or befell you, that is something disturbing, something catastrophic took place against you, meaning what happened to them during the battle of Uhud, the defeat, the sustained defeat. So they were surprised. How did this come? So Allah saying that it happened to you, you were wondering, okay? Whereas before that time, Allah gave you twice as much victory. This is just the first time of having this kind of an experience. But previously, Allah gave you double the victory he gave you before this defeat that met you. You were wondering, how did this come to us? Allah said, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. Tell them, it happened because of your own undoing. You didn't obey the Prophet, he asked you to maintain your positions, you were not there. So مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And Allah on everything has power, is omnipotent, has the capacity to do everything. Next ayah.
وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ ادْفَعُوا قالوا لو نعلم قتالا لاتبعناكم هم للكفر يومئذ أقرب منكم للإيمان يقولون بأفواههم ما ليس في قلوبهم والله أعلم بما يكتمون.
وما أصابكم يوم التقى الجمعان فبإذن الله وليعلم المؤمنين. In this ayah 166, the ayah kind of gives the believers source of pleasure, source of pride, that وما أصابكم يوم التقى الجمعان. What happened to you when the two parties met? The Quraysh on one side, the believers on one side. That is al-jam'an. When they met, what happened to you? Okay, for the إذن الله. It so happened by the will of Allah. Allah willed it. Allah decreed it that it was going to happen the way it happened. So as to expose and to explain who were the true believers. That is the rationale, the hikmah behind it. I just want to add something according to Ibn Kathir, the previous ayah quoted, when he said, قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا. He said, يَعَنِي يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ فَإِنَّهُمْ قَتَلُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ سَبْعِينَ قَتِيلًا وَأَثَرُوا سَبْعِينَ أَصِيرًا. You don't have to worry what happened to you. You go twice as what happened to you. Because in Badr, you killed 70 unbelievers and you captured as captives, POW, prisoners of war, 70. That's the meaning of قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا. And then the ayah we have heard. It so happened by the power of Allah, by His will, by His own decree. And He did it so as to expose or to make known who were the true believers. Now, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا, and as well as to expose who are al-munafiqoon. Okay? الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا, those who practice hypocrisy. وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْ قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ اِدْفَعُوا. It was said to them, come on, fight in the defense of Allah's religion. أَوْ اِدْفَعُوا, or just give a shield, give a defense so that nobody comes and attacks the Prophet. They were asked either to fight or to merely give what? A defense. The munafiqun. قَالُوا, but they said, لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. If we had known the art of fighting, we will have followed you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ. In that day, we are much nearer to disbelief than being near to Iman. يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Saying, articulating words verbally, which was contrary to what they have counseled in their heart. And that is one of the main features of a munafiq. What, who is a munafiq? Munafiq is the practitioner of nifaq. Okay, what is nifaq? Nifaq is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is an evil reality, let me call it reality, in the heart of the victim, making such a victim to conceal disbelief inwardly. Inwardly he is a kafir, but outwardly he gives you belief. That is nifaq, and the most dangerous of all. A munafiq can pray with you the way you pray, can even go on hajj, can claim to be a Muslim. In fact, a munafiq can even fast Ramadan the way the Muslims are fasting. He will be ready to experience the hunger they are experiencing now, because he aims at something, an evil end. For him not to be exposed, let him make an infiltration. He does as you do. He becomes part of you. You will agree, all is part of us. But what is in the heart is very, very dangerous. That is nifaq. This form of nifaq is the most dangerous one. There is what you call social nifaq, social hypocrisy. Somebody with whom you have a trust, you go together, same market, same school, or a good example, looking for the hand of a woman in marriage together. You are kind of competing together, looking for her hand in marriage, but your friend tells you there is no point competing together because of this sister. I am withdrawing for you. Now he has given you every opportunity to believe you are the only one in the field now. Only for him to go and stab you at your back without your knowledge. By this I mean he goes and propagates bad information concerning you to the hearing of the woman or her parents, don't give him her hand in marriage. He is authorized, poor, irresponsible. Just character assessment you, defend you. But when you meet, he tells you, okay, please go ahead. I'm ready to help you with everything. This is an example of social hypocrisy. It's not as evil as the first one, bordering on aqidah. But this kind of nifaq can also develop to the point of becoming nifaq of the first class. So a nifaq is very dangerous. A true believer does not practice hypocrisy. He always says his mind appropriately, responsibly and reasonably. But the munafiqun made the Prophet to suffer a lot in Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them was saying to his friends, let me show you how to treat Muhammad and his friends. He met Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, ya Abu Bakr, all his friends of the Prophet who was together with him in the cave, you are the one that Allah has chosen. Then he went to Umar ibn al-Khattab saying the same thing to Uthman. And then he turned back to his group. He said, that is how you should treat them. Give them your verbal utterance that you believe, but inwardly you harbor rancor, hatred, animosity, and fight them. The Quran says concerning them, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. That is nifaq. It's very dangerous. And the munafiqun are going to be at the lowest level, down, the bottom part of Jahannam. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ مَصِيرًا. So the ayah here tells us what the munafiqun, a part of what is telling us, Allah did this. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا, so that Allah will expose those who were munafiqun. It was said to them, come on, fight to help Allah's cause, or just give a defense. But they were saying, oh, we don't know how to fight. They are nearer to disbelief than being near to Iman. Uttering in their mouth what was not in their own heart. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَكْتُمُونَ. Allah knows by far what they are counseling in their hearts. Next ayah.
الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ وَقَالُوا لَوْ أَطَاعُونَا مَا قُتِلُوا قُلْ فَادْرَءُوا عَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ وَقَعَدُوا لَوْ أَطَاعُونَا مَا قُتِلُوا قُلْ فَادْرَءُوا عَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. الَّذِينَ, they were those, that is the munafiqun. They were those who were telling their friends, their compatriots, their brothers, وَقَعَدُوا, while they remain seated. They didn't go out for fighting alongside the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. They were saying, لَوْ أَطَعُونَا مَا قُتِلُوا. Can't you see? So and so was killed in the battle of Uhud. If they had listened to our own advice, they didn't go and follow Muhammad, they wouldn't have been killed. Look at him. He went there, he was killed. They were whispering to the ears of one another. Munafiqun. Okay? لَوْ أَطَعُونَا مَا قُتِلُوا. Then Allah replied them by saying, قُلْ فَدْرَأُوا أَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Tell them, shield yourself against the death if you're speaking the truth. When the death comes, tell the death, please, Mr. Death, I refuse to die because I am what I am. It's a challenging command here. فَدْرَأُوا أَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Just like somebody saying, well, cannot come out to call people to sunnah. I fear for my life. For if today you are recognized to be someone that is adherent of Islam, you are Sharia compliant,
or a girl in a school, if she maintains hijab, she's going to be discriminated against. Somebody working in a company, if you dare say I'm going to pray, they are going to beat you out. So for that, let me soft pedal. Let me do it softly. All these are satanic whisperings. Okay. And then those saying, if you go out, you are going to be killed. Allah said, ah, قُلْ فَدْرَأُوا أَنْ أَنْفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Shield yourself or keep the death away from you. In كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are speaking the truth. Then Allah says in Ayah 169,
وَلَا تَحْسِبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا.
وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ أو وَلَا تَحْسِبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ. Don't you ever think that those that got killed in Allah's way are ordinary mortals. They just died ordinarily. No. Their death was not and cannot be ordinary death. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. Nay, they are living. They are living. Anyone that gets killed in defending Allah's cause, especially in the battlefield, is not an ordinary mortal. Quran is telling you this. They are ever living. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ يُرْزَقُونَ. Provided with provision from Allah. Okay. May Allah give us. Now.
فَرِهِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
فَرِهِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله. Rejoicing, being happy on account of what Allah has given them out of His bounties. وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. And breaking the glad tidings for those that are yet to meet them in the paradise who are behind them. Allah خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Telling them, there is no any fear with us and there is no any grief that has taken us. Allahu Akbar. The Shaheed will be talking, trying to explain this to those that he has left behind. This is what Allah has given us. How I wish you two will have the opportunity to have the kind of gift that Allah has given us. So why do you be afraid? Why do you worry? Death is an inevitable end. Isn't it? One sha'ir says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَمُتْ بِالسَّيْفِ مَاتَ بِغَيْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ مَوْتَ السَّيْفِ أَعْلَى وَأَشْرَفُ. If you don't die with the sword, you have to have some. Petal soup can kill you. Wallahi al-Azim, petal soup. You get strangulated and you die. So it's better you have an honorable kind of death. Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased, says, المنيه ولا الدنيه والتجلد ولا التبلد. I prefer dying than remaining perpetually under humiliation. Okay? Of kufr. So a true believer does not fear to be taught this world as long as he maintains the good way. Let it be on the right course. Because even if you were to be given 1,000 years to live for 1,000 years. Finally, come on. Can't you hear what Allah says concerning the Jews? يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ but وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرَ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. One of them will long to have a life of 1,000 years. Long span of living. And so are them. And so what? Let's assume you are given lifespan of 100 years. The only part of which you will enjoy, what? Adolescence, 30, 40, 50, at most 60. And so on after that. And our days are fast running. When we reach the age of 70, they're finished. They become a liability. That's what they are saying. The age of 70 is the age of passivity and no longer activity. You are passive. A responsibility, a burden, a nuisance. Okay. In the paradise, no old age. Wallahi al-azim. You know, I was reading some years back, there was one advisor to the socialist president of France, Mitterrand, the former president. Not Chirac that left and Sarkozy came. Mitterrand. He had an advisor on economic issues in his cabinet. His name is Mr. Jacques Attali. He was saying that it is the concept of ours that if anybody reaches the age of 60, he has outlived, listen carefully, he has outlived his productive capacity. He should be gotten rid of by means of euthanasia. When you reach 60, you don't papuka finish. So they can easily kill you through what? They call it through merciful killing, injection called euthanasia. Because by the time you become of age, you become immune to the growing one. You go to Europe now, you have old people homes. Yeah, I was reading before the Queen's mother died, Her Majesty the Queen of England, she paid a visit on her 100 years birthday. Just paid a visit to her to say hello, because she was taken out of the ruling family, Buckingham Palace. You know Buckingham Palace in London? It is where they rule, the monarchs there. Right now, if somebody is old, the son can just apply that, please, I want you to take this old man out of the compound. It's becoming a nuisance. He lives his own days. He wants to live in our days. It's not possible. Allahu Akbar Kabira. When Islam is preaching to you how to treat old age, to be compassionate, to be merciful, to be lenient, to be considerate, to be diplomatic, any word, bring it, if it gives the message there. In Sixth Quran, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الظل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. Beautiful teaching. So Allah, have mercy on them the way they have mercy on me when I was a minor. Don't say a hush to them. Uffin. Okay. So those who died will be making these good statements in respect to those who are yet to with them or to have what Allah has given them. Come on, your father, ayah 170. Did you read it? The first shurum? The Quran.
يستبشرون برحمة من الله وفضل وأن الله لا يضيع أجر المؤمنين.
يستبشرون بنعمة من الله وفضل وأن الله لا يضيع أجر المؤمنين. Breaking the good news. Okay. Breaking the good to themselves, or enjoying concerning the good tidings that Allah has broken to them, concerning Allah's ni'mah, min Allah wa fadlin, and Allah's bounty. Wa anna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-mu'minin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not deny, because yudhi' is to give you something haphazardly, not up to the measure that is needed. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not unjustly reward the believing men and women. Next ayah.
الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحُ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ.
You have to be patient. It is for Allah says, it happened to you, what had happened. The other says, I is ready for the same thing. If that is going to earn me Allah's pleasure. Uthman ibn Mad'ud. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his own finger wounded. It was bleeding. What did he say? He said, in anti illa atbu'i damiti wa fi sabili lani ma laqiti. You are just a finger wounded for the sake of Allah. The bleeding is coming out just because of because we want to serve Allah and earn His pleasure. So those who have responded to Allah and the Messenger after being traumatized, after being troubled, Allah says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ, for those who have acted in goodness amongst them, وَاتَّقُوا, and keep their duties to Allah, أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ, is a big, tremendous reward from the Creator. Next ayah.
الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَاخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ.
الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَاخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. They are those that were told by the rumor mongers that إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ. The ulama are saying this ayah was revealed when some people went to the Prophet during the battle of Dhi al-Khandaq. May I know when did it take place? Can you know this? Some of you told us when Badr took place, the second year of Hijrah, and Uhud the third year. What about the battle of Dhi? Battle of Dhi, in which year did it take place? We have to read our Islamic history books well. Now, 8 years after Hijrah, no, I'm afraid. Second attempt. If we can't have it here, we will go beyond the border. There are brothers ready for answer. I do believe. But if we're coming to you, let's exhaust what we have inside first. Yes. Allahu Akbar. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. It's unbelievable. Yes sir. Fourth year after Hijrah, I'm afraid. Yes brother. Fifth year, بارك الله فيك. Yes. Even if the guessing, you have guessed well. الحمد لله. Fifth year after the Hijrah, the battle of Khandaq took place. So you see, the unbelievers came massively. In fact, they even encircled Medina. So somebody came to them and said, Ya Rasulallah, people have gathered, they are going to conquer you. Said, La, Hasbunallah. Allah is enough for us. So for that beautiful statement, Allah said, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. People have mounted support, drums for support against you. Fear them. Said, no. وقالوا حسبنا الله فزادهم إيمانا. That only increased their belief. What is that? The rumor being peddled that people gathered. It turned out not to be rumor, it was a reality. But it remained what committed to their belief, saying, we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That only increased their iman. وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. Allah is enough for us and He is. How beautiful Allah is as someone to put your trust in and on. This is a very beautiful expression that the believer should be saying constantly. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. It is a statement said by Prophet Abraham or Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was being thrown into the fire. The ulama even say it was something uttered by Prophet Yusuf when he was thrown into the Ghayabatul Jub. The same statement said by the Prophet during the battle of the beach or Al-Ahzab, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And it is better to be saying it in the form of plural, Hasbuna, to imply the generality of the Muslim Ummah. You can make it singular by saying what? Hasbiya, Hasbiyallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. But preferably, when you say it, you take into cognizance the interest of the Muslim Ummah wherever they are. Next ayah.
فانقلبوا بنعمة من الله وفضل لم يمسسهم سوء واتبعوا رضوان الله والله ذو فضل عظيم.
فانقلبوا بنعمة من الله وفضل لم يمسسهم سوء واتبعوا رضوان الله والله ذو فضل عظيم. يقول الإمام ابن كثير الدمشقي في تفسير هذه الآية الآية الرابعة والسبعين بعد المئة آية 174 يخبر تعالى عن الشهداء بأنهم وإن قتلوا في هذه الدار فإن أرواحهم حية مرزوقة في دار القرار. ابن كثير تأذيب making general comment under this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yukhbiru an shuhada, is telling us concerning the martyrs who died as martyrs, killed unjustifiably for their aqeedah, for defending Islam, especially in the battlefield. But وَإِن قُتِلُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدَّارِ, even though they got killed in this mortal life, in this sinful world, فإن أرواحهم, but they are souls, souls, okay, حَيَّةٌ is alive, they are not dead, مَرْزُوقَةٌ being provided with provision from be and it was, كُنْ فَيَكُنْ, where? في دار القرار, in the place of permanent domicile. Because this life is transitional, more transitional than the transition itself, smaller than smallness itself, to put it that way. So why do you worry about it? Today you are sick, tomorrow you are healthy, tomorrow you are poor, next tomorrow you are well, like this. Okay? But in the hereafter, nothing like this. One is lucky to be admitted into the endless bliss. Oh, no question of growing old, or today I am sick, let me go and see doctor. No, those things were left behind. Just like if someone, a'udhu billah, happens to be unfortunate to be thrown into the hellfire, blazing fire, there is no any thought of having any respite by any stretch of imagination. Trauma, chastisement, and endlessly. In a hadith, the dwellers of the hellfire will be crying to the chief guard on the hellfire, Malik. Oh Malik, please, our request, tell the Creator, we want to die. The pressure is so severe, we want to die. They will be crying for 40 years. And 40 years, not according to the calculation of the worldly calculation, mark you. According to Quran, one day with Allah is equal to 1,000 years according to your calculation. Serious. The Quran says it in Surah Al-Hajj. وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعَدَهُ وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. A day with your Lord is equal to 1,000 years according to your calculation. Yesterday in House of Version of Tafsir in Kadpoli, I was saying this, and let me say it here. From the time the Prophet left Makkah to Medina to be, how many years? 1,429. You know, it's not up to 1.5 days with Allah. Yeah. Prophet left Medina, left Makkah to Medina for migration. Today it's 1,000. Please, 1,000. You know 1,000, cool? Yeah. 1,429. But to Allah, it's not up to 1.5 days. For it to reach 1.5 day, how many years do you need? 429. You need to have 500 years to have a half day. So 1,429. Out of 500, take out 429. What is the balance? So you still need 71 years more to come. Most of us must have gone already. to reach one and a half day with Allah. So now the dwellers of the hellfire will be crying, will be wailing, and the angel will never say a word to them for 40 years. 40 is not according to the worldly calculation. When the answer finally comes, it will be said to them, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِفُونَ. Stop crying. Remain there. Dejected, humiliated, a cause of God for your bad behaviors in this life. You rejected the belief, the iman. This is what you are going to have it. I mean, it's frightening. But Allah does not inflict wrong doing on anybody. It is the handiwork of your hand. Does Allah ask you to draw a gun and kill somebody?
No.
Okay. Does He ask you to go and commit fornication and adultery? Does He? Does He say, for example, you should rig election, for example, just because you want to perpetuate your empire? Does He say you should hoard goods? Does He say you should disobey your parents? Did He return prophets for you? Quran? Scholars, have they been talking, explaining, exposing things, explaining? Then why being astray? So that is it here. Ibn Kathir, like I was saying, because now the time is up, let's just translate and then we stop there. We move on, inshallah, with ayah 175 tomorrow by the grace of Allah. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. They turn having Allah's bounty, Allah's grace, educatedly bestowed on them. وَفَضْلٍ and His fadl. Fadl means something extra. He has given you something and with an additional bounty. It's called fadl. لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ. Nothing bad came upon them. وَاتَّبِعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. Theirs was what ensures Allah's pleasure. And they follow it. Allahu dhu fadlin azim. Allah is the owner of bounties that is very, very mighty. Oh Allah, bestow on us your mighty bounties. Boundless, immeasurable, incalculable. For ma dhalika Allah bi aziz. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. Someone before that, I quickly go on to question and answer session. Somebody text me telling me, Malam, so these days we've not been talking about the proverbial, tell what do you call it, the proverbial camel teller. So well, you've not been reminding me. Yes, the one we used to do it last year here, and the house of version, Jalara Uri, Taini Sada Kasa, or Kainwa Deshan Allah. So, inshallah, if I am kept reminded, inshallah, that will be brought back. This is very important to know something concerning the life of the Sahaba. It increases our iman and polishes our belief in Allah. That, inshallah, will be continued in due course. Barakallah, people.
Barakallah, may Allah
continue
to increase my love in knowledge and wisdom, in good health, sound mind. May Allah continue to increase us also in patience and understanding and the ability to act what we've been taught here. Before we continue with the questions and answers, I just want to, is it sunnatic to use كرم الله وجهه
فعالي رضي الله عنه. سيدنا علي بن ابي طالب رضي الله عنه is one of the Sahaba of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and he has a great position in the eyes of all the believers. But using the phraseology as a mark of an honor for him or to him, كرم الله وجهه, this is innovative, fabricated by some people later. According to Ahlul Sunnah, they don't use this expression in greeting Ali ibn Abi Talib. Even though there are even a lot of Sunni scholars who out of absent-mindedness, ghafla, they do it unknowingly, not knowing the import, of things like this. So just use radiyallahu anhu, it's more comfortable, more encompassing, and more reasonable.
But that one has some nasty historical undertone with it. Allahu Alam.
Please, Sheikh, I want you to enlighten us about whether it is good for would-be couples to go for HIV and AIDS test before marriage.
That is situational. That is circumstantial. It depends on the circumstances. If the would-be couple, as you put it, are known to be irresponsible, okay, they refuse, they fail to conduct their lives, ways of life properly, they have cause to doubt their faithfulness, why not? They should go. I strongly recommend for the test, pre-marital test, to determine whether positive or otherwise concerning a HIV. But somebody known to be responsible, reasonable, scrupulous, careful, God-fearing, to ask him to go for HIV test is a slap on the face. Why? Because they are saying 80% causative agent of HIV is out of zina. They said it. Okay? More than 80% is out of irresponsible sexual intercourse. Sodomy, lesbianism, sexual promiscuity, put it simple. If that is the case, so you say somebody please go to have a test. What are you telling him? Impliedly, you are, you know, painting in black that you are this one. Even though they are saying there is some percentage of the causative agent, blood transfusion, but it's not the dominant percentage there. So I hope you understand it well. If somebody is known to be easygoing guy and an easygoing girl, flirting around, chasing, well, you should have this a very, very bombastic terms you use this very time around. So let him go for that, because he has caused it onto himself to be known like this. That is my fatwa concerning this issue. Now, in case there will be couple, one of them is responsible, the other one is not responsible, but known to his knowledge. Maybe the guy is not responsible, but he hid everything, denying the would be wife of his the access to the reality. What happens in this case? Those who know should expose it. It's haram for them to keep quiet. It's not backbiting in this case. The ulama are saying backbiting is not backbiting in 6 different cases, this one included. Now,
Assalamu alaikum ya Shaykhuna. Wallahi ya Shaykh, I love you for the sake of Allah. Ya Shaykh, yesterday I was not comfortable. It's like you went against Shaykh Albani yesterday. Please, I want clarification for this.
I ask Allah, for the sake of whom you love me, to love you as well. I am comfortable in showing you it seems like. That means you are not being categorical. You are not sure that it seems like you've gone against Sheikh Albani. You got it wrong. Pathologically wrong. That's why the ulama are saying, وَمَا آفَةُ الْأَخْبَارِ إِلَّا رُوَاتُهَا. The trouble with some people is the ability to even understand what somebody is saying. If you want to benefit from any session of learning, there are some conditions. Mokkari, as you said here. M-O-P-C-A-R-I. We call this prerequisite for efficient learning. M, motivation. O, organization. P, participation. Participation is very necessary. C, cooperation. A, attention. Attention is of two kinds. There is physical and mental attention. You may be here physically, but somewhere at Mandu station. So I say something, before you go, you say, oh, what is he saying? You just had one part of it and you got it wrong. And Satan thrust into your own mind, and then you just went to the illogical, I mean into the inconclusive conclusion. I keep saying this. And Sheikh Al-Albani was, is, and remains my mentor personally. But that does not make me to make him infallible. He didn't make such a claim. I benefited,
I am benefiting immensely from his wealth of knowledge. All I was saying, those claiming to follow Albani, claiming, trying to bring a different version of Salafiyah for some reason. Okay? So you got it wrong if you say I went against Albani. It's not my own way. In fact, the ulama have warned that you dare not castigate any sheikh, any alim that is uplifted by Allah. But that does not mean that you take his words hardly. No. No one has that position but one person. Who is that? So I was making a reply because I was asked. It is an obligation on you to answer. So in the process, maybe you didn't hear it well, or you got it wrong, or somebody told you A, B, C, D, and then, but thank Allah, you are courageous enough to come and ask for the clarification. Otherwise, you will end it having. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakumullah khair. Listen, ya Sheikh, did the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah have the understanding of kufr dun al-kufr?
Well, it depends on what you understand by kufr dun al-kufr. If you say, do the Ahl al-Sunnah, they will say did, but I want to say do the Ahl al-Sunnah have the understanding of kufr dun al-kufr? I will answer you yes. Majority of the Sunni scholars have this view that there is a kufr that does not reach the kufr. For example, in a riwayah, he who associates himself to a parent not his has committed kufr. If somebody, just because somebody is a millionaire, is known, his safe, you know, safe, socio-economic status is very clear, was very high, beyond that of his father. So he's ashamed of saying he's the son of this poor father. So he prefers to say he's the son of that wealthy person. He has committed an act of kufr. But the ulama say here, does not mean the kufr of disbelieving Allah. It means ingratitude, showing ungratefulness to your parents. So it is kufr, duna kufr. If the kufr that is not up to the kufr, you may think, or you wish to believe in, okay. So yes, the Sunni scholars have the belief of this can be kufr, but duna kufr. That is true.
As-salamu alaykum, madam, please. Is it sunnatic to be wearing cap always?
Is it sunnatic to be wearing cap always? Is it sunnatic not to be wearing cap always? Yes. It is good to answer question by asking a counter question. I am just trying to be being a typical Nigerian. Now, on a more serious note, is it sunnatic? I say yes, especially during prayer. If you come to my mosque in Kano, if you are capless, I send you back in the front row. So you should be warned before coming. Because to be phone is to be for out. You may say why? And I give you the answer. The Quran is clear. When it is concerning the prayer, Allah says, Ya Bani Adama, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O Adam's children, maintain your beauty. Your what? Zina. Your beautification. Okay? Your attractive appearance when it comes to prayer. Now, the Prophet has to explain the meaning. When he was coming to prayer, he never prayed with his own head without cap. So this explains to you the meaning of the ayah by fact. Not a single hadith that ever says the Prophet ever prayed with his own head uncapped. Yeah, there is one riwayah, but unreliable. Let's assume there is one hadith. What do you do with thousand, many years of his life that he used to pray with his own head capped? What is that one instance? Okay? In the event of the hadith being what? Reliable. Al-hukum lil-ghalib wal-ad la yuqaf. So concerning the prayers, yes, it's not recommended that you pray with your head uncovered, but nobody can tell me praying without cap makes my prayer invalid. No. The issue is not, does not border on that. It's talking about doing something extra. Your Prophet never used to pray with his head uncovered. Why do you do it? You? Yes, it's legal. Yeah, it's legal. Granted. But don't you want to go ahead with this? Number one, if the chairman of your local government invites you for an important meeting, do you go with your head on camp? His Royal Highness, the local emir, invites you, he wants to see you. You will go to the point of borrowing a car with your babariga just to carry the date. So all these personalities deserve respect, but Allah doesn't deserve it. That's what they say. Similarly, an old man says, let me give you my daughter in marriage. How do you go to him? In a typical other society, do you go capless or capped? Capped, not capless, fully capped. Why? To prove that you are a responsible person. Okay, it is Allah that doesn't deserve all this. You say it is halal. Yes, it's halal. I share the friendship with you. I was thinking on it, but Nala, you see, it is in my heart. I say it's true. You can come and pray with your pants and tell me it is in your heart. The issue of being in your heart. If as an imam, I come with my own, what do you call it, French suit, with my fashion cap, I said, Inna alhamdulillah. Someone will say, is that Ibn Usman? So, yes, it's true. Praying, capless, let him say capless, it's not bad. But it's not the best. If you prefer to maintain what is not the best, it's up to you. So in our own place, the front row, nobody is allowed. It is capless. Haram is not haram. The prayer is full. In fact, you can even have the reward more than the imam. But that belongs to Allah. Okay. But concerning just going around your business, outside prayer, without cap, it's not bad. What is wrong there? It's not bad, it's halal. The only thing is that a Muslim tries to show his identity wherever he is. That's all. But wear your shade, your cap, your suit, your shirt, what is wrong there? As long as you are part, alhamdulillah, I will take care of. But mark you, a Muslim should always show himself as a Muslim. Part of what displaying is his own cultural attire. Islam does not say specifically you have to wear the cloth. Okay, and I hope you understand me well.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum, ya Sheikh. Honestly, I love you for the sake of Allah. I'm 43 years old this year. I have basic Arabic foundation. Allah, honestly, I want to be like you in knowledge and behavior. What can I do to achieve this?
May Allah, for the sake of whom you love me, may He love you as well. But I want to make a correction. Please aspire to be more than me. Try to know Arabic Quran, have knowledge more than Muhammad bin Uthman. I am nothing, nobody, but just a poor created being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So aspire to be more than me, so that you put the message across more than I did in my life. Only that is that let the intention be sincere, honest. Not because you want to hurt you. No. That is dirty thing. Struggle with Satan, make his point of order that this is thing you are doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerning what you do, it's very easy. Commit yourself to the learning. Practice Arabic constantly. Consult scholars. Go to school. If you have enough time, you are for three all. You have free time. You can even leave Nigeria, go to Sudan, like I was saying earlier. There are courses offered for 6 months. You have proficiency in Arabic language. By the time you come back, you will be able to know the language of Quran well, speak it well, write it well, and communicate with others well. It's very easy. But the common denominator is that fear of Allah should be the basis of everything. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase you in knowledge and understanding, and all of us, may Allah make our intentions to be clear for His own sake alone. Now.
Assalamu alaikum. In my area, we have a Sunnitic mosque, and just of recent, another mosque, Sunnitic mosque, was established close to the one we pray. Please, Malam, what is your view about this?
Wallahi, my dear, my brother, is that the Muslim Ummah should not be building mosques sporadically, you know? The fewer the mosque, the stronger the unity. Is that correct? So this has its own mosque with its own jama'ah, that one. I mean, we are fragmented. We are fragmented. Can't you see? Because of the beauty of unity in Islam, we are commanded to pray 5 times a day, congregationally. And that message of unity is reinforced, you know, in our prayers we offer weekly. Because you have pure Jumu'ah mosque, hence larger congregations. As if that is not enough, congregations are also commanded to be carried out yearly, twice a year, Eid al-Kabir and Eid al-Fitr. As if that is not enough, the mother of all congregations of Muslims is commanded to be carried out once a year. I am referring to Hajj, Arafah. So governments should have the power of even regulating how mosques should be established, should be built, should be maintained. It is the responsibility of each and every responsible and reasonable government to make sure the streets, the proliferation of mosques are curtailed for the safety of unity amongst the Muslim Ummah. If the first mosque that was first built is a Sunnitic mosque, built on Sunnah, then why should they allow maybe some feelings of we want to be also heard, we want to have on, to override their sense of justice? They should have thought and discussed and look at the pros and cons of coming together. Okay? Let them iron out the differences for the sake of Muslim unity. For the sake of Muslim unity and becoming united. There are so many verses of Quran talking about unity. So that is my own view. It's not good. Unless if the first mosque drifts away from being fanatic to something like bid'atic, and constantly they have been cautioned and refused, and you don't have any alternative than to opt out, then it becomes a sorry state. It becomes a lamentable situation. It is better you maintain unity by all means. وَأَنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. So please try and do your best in the area, if it is possible, to see that they are united. Having one mosque is by far better than becoming divided.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
Please, madam, in salat, if one misses any raka'ah, is he supposed to pay back the missed one or to complete the one he missed?
We are talking about just two riwayat, a hadith, one in Bukhari, the other one in Tirmidhi, saying, وَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَقْضُوا أَوْ فَأَتِمُّوا. The function of an imam is that he should be emulated, to be obeyed, to be copied in every step of the prayer. So it says, whatever you've gotten, pray it. Whatever you missed, either repay or complete. But the riwayah talking about completing or completion is more sound, more reliable, more acceptable. I give you an example. If I come to a mosque, the imam has already prayed with the congregation 2 rak'at of Isha prayer. By the time I joined them, I got only how many rak'at? 2. Finally, the imam terminates the prayer, so also the congregation terminates in the same like manner. I shall stand up. Is it to complete or to repeat? Now, that's the big mistake we are having. Some have the view of repeating. So when they wake up, you just read Fatiha loudly, Surah loudly, and then sit down. The logic being that I made the recitation loudly. Okay? So I have to repeat, to do it in the same like manner the imam did. But that is wrong. The stronger riwayat is just complete. When you wake up, just read Fatiha silently without any surah extra, making it your third unit, the third rak'ah. And then you wake up, you bring the fourth unit, rak'ah, read the Fatiha silently minus any surah. That is complete. That is complete. The meaning of fa'atimu. But if you insist on saying you are going to repeat, let me ask you, you will come to the mosque. The imam in Maghrib prayer has already prayed 2 rak'at, and then you join him. He finishes the prayer by completing his last unit. You have to wake up, isn't it? How many rakat on you?
Two.
Right. How are you going to do? If you are going to repeat, when you wake up, what are you going to do? Fatiha, loudly or silently? Naam?
Loudly.
In the spirit of what? Is it completion or repaying? Repaying. No, in both cases. In both cases. Because everybody knows the second rak'ah of Maghrib should be read loudly. So based on that, we are together with both repaying and both completing. But I'm going to have a dividing line. Now, you've read Fatiha loudly to the hearing of all. Right. What are you supposed to do? To sit down and recite Tahiyyah. Then you have gone wrong. You have gone against the principle of repaying. Because your Imam didn't sit until after two rak'at consecutively. Why don't you pray consecutively too before you sit? So you are going against what you believe in. That is what you do on the Sefer side, just up for completion. I don't know if you get this. It's very clear. If it's some are of the view that you should repay, that is al-qadha. If you insist on repaying, before your Imam sits, how many rak'ah did he offer before sitting? Are you listening? Especially because you said you didn't understand. How many rak'ah did he offer before sitting? Two. Okay. Now, after the two rak'ahs, I joined the Imam and the congregation, having the opportunity of having the last unit. The Imam terminates the prayer. I stand up to repay according to the first view. Are you listening? I have how many rak'ahs? Two. Now I stand, since I am now repaying, when I stand, I am supposed as well to bring two rak'ahs consecutively, not sitting, based on my understanding of repaying. Because my Imam said two rak'ahs consecutively, I am copying him. But is it what we do? So we are going against the view we claim to know and practice. Still, any trouble? You understand all? So you have to pray in the way that is going to be germane to what the riwayah says. Just you have to complete, not to repeat. When you wake up, you pray first rak'ah, reading your Fatiha discreetly, and then you wake up. Okay, the Fatiha you got it discreetly by the Imam, not by you. But when you wake up, you read your Fatiha loudly and Surah loudly, and then you sit down. Because each and every second unit, you have to sit. And if you are going against the view of repaying, you are opting for what? Completing. And which is realistic according to the Hadith. And then you wake up, you read the Fatiha silently, making it the third unit, and then somebody prayer, the prayer is completed. I hope it is clear. Written question. Maintain the order.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Madam, my father died, and my brothers and relations organized 3 days, 8 days, 40 days prayers, and were asked to donate money. Madam, what is your view? Should I donate the money for these prayers or not?
The answer is no. Because it is bid'ah. In Bukhari and Muslim, the riwayah of Aisha, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa tarad." This is Bukhari's narration. Muslim's narration, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amr fahuwa rad." Now if somebody dies, you organize 3 days, prayers, 7 days, you say 8 days. I don't know this one. I know what it's 7 days. 7 days, 40 days, and a year. All these were concocted, fabricated, introduced by the scholars of this country, to my knowledge. Who tells you Allah does not forgive the dead until after 3 days? Why the specification of 7 days? Why? Why 40 days? Why 1 year? We just want to know. Everybody wants to know. So it is bid'atic and not sunnatic. It is in the virtue. If you support it by cash or by kind, you will be judged as somebody aiding and abetting innovative practices, and you stand challenged and condemned in the eyes of Islam, unless if there is a greater challenge in the event of your refusal, like they are going to have a negative impression about you to the point of completely souring relations, or to the point of being out of a brotherhood together. And if you are compelled by the necessity, then you are compelled. Or another view: as a young man, the brothers have been sustaining your educational career. In the event of your refusal, you stand the chances of being denied, and your career crumbles, and maybe the future, as we foresee, maybe become blocked for some other reason that can be considered darura. But it has to reach the point of darura, necessity. In that case, you may consider doing it against your will. Otherwise, it's not allowed to support them. Your responsibility is to educate them, to enlighten them, to doctor them. In fact, they will come to the understanding of the innovative nature, the bid'atic nature of such a practice, and you stand to benefit a lot in the eyes of Allah if you maintain this way. Unless otherwise, you are compelled by a necessity.
The last question for now. Well, assalamu alaikum. I find it difficult to fast, and as you advise us, or as Sharia said, we should feed the poor. Malan, can I give the food to this al-majlis?
Hey, but what makes it that you can't fast? We have to know what is the nature of the impediment. What is it that makes you not to be able to fast? Old age, ulcer. If it is ulcer, do we say just because somebody becomes an ulcer patient, he does not fast and he gives feeding? Or let him go and look for treatment, by the time he is cured, let him face back. MRE, anybody that is sick, what is expected of him is to eat, drink, and let him make up for the missed day. That is originally the order. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيبًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَإِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَىٰ. But if the sickness becomes incurable one, seemingly hopeless, there is an element of hopelessness. I told you somebody in Kano now is dead for more than 15 years. He was suffering from one treatment called obesity. You know obesity. So he couldn't maintain 2 hours without eating. Yeah, he was going around the city of Kano with food in his own boots. So for that he couldn't fast. What he used to do was just to give food to the needy when the sun sets. Similarly, a woman that is breastfeeding or who is pregnant, on account of pregnancy, she cannot fast, otherwise the child suffers. Or she cannot fast because of breastfeeding, otherwise the milk recedes. Okay, there is deficiency of the supply, such that the child becomes in water difficulty, and there is no one that could be employed to breastfeed him on commercial basis. In that case, the woman can eat, and she doesn't need to pay back the day. What she should do is, whenever the sun sets, she'll produce one dish of food to a needy person. Now, if the al-majri going around are those needy persons, yes. But look to me, I want this kind of al-majrism to be discouraged. Look for someone that has family and give it to him. But in his absence, you can give the al-majri. Whenever the sun sets, give one person one dish to his satisfaction. And it's going to be in place of the day you've not fasted. That is the way out.
اللهم اتبنا ولا تنقصنا واكرمنا ولا تشلنا وعافنا ولا تحرمنا وانصرنا ولا تنصر علينا وارضنا وارض عنا.